Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. As always, thanks for rating, subscribing, and reviewing. You can find me on IG at Rambling and Gambling. Posted some winners on there last weekend. Went 3 of 4. Also, please email me. I will respond. Good at getting back to people. Rambling and Gambling Podcast at gmail.com. Beautiful day here today in our nation's capital, and I'm really excited for this episode today, too. We're chatting with Andy Molitor. He's the director of content for BetSperts. He's one half of the Deep Dive Pod, which is one of my favorites. We had the other half, Drew Dinsick, on a month or so ago. Andy is also a co-host of Brown Bag Bets. You can find him on Twitter, at AndyMSFW. He's a busy guy, and I'm pumped he's making some time for us. Here he is, Andy Molitor. Andy, I am thrilled to have a Minnesotan on the pod. I lived in your great state for many years. I was a reporter at the ABC affiliate in Minneapolis. I got married in Minnesota. Also, I recently traveled to Bemidji, Minnesota, which is where my wife is from. It's way up in the northern part of the state, not too far from Canada for anybody who doesn't know. And I will tell you, my man, we got a dusting of snow on Halloween. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, I was a little nervous about that when we were looking at the weather reports for this week. There's a storm that's going to be coming. It actually might affect the Green Bay game, which is quite a bit further north than me. But the storm's going to come through. And it looks like maybe southern Minnesota might just get rain. But yeah, the snow is coming. Winter is coming. It's about to get real nasty for 6 months up here.
It's about to get real. I know what you're talking about. Real quick, before we get to the games, can you give me the short version of how you got to where you are now? You're this really respected gambler. You churn out a ton of content day in, day out. Briefly, how did you get into it?
Really, it's dumb to say Twitter, but it's probably Twitter, which is, and that's how networking starts, I guess. You know, a lot of these social media platforms, you end up with some networking you don't expect. Twitter is what LinkedIn wants to be sometimes, I think. And really just meeting some people through Twitter, obviously starting the Deep Dive Podcast with Drew Dinsick there that we're still doing. And then just kind of continuing to network and meet new people, interviewing some other, you know, bettors, handicappers, gamblers on that and starting some other projects. And then, you know, end up meeting some people over at BetSperts and winding up doing this full time, which has been, you know, awesome. It's, you know, it's super cliche, the old, you find something you love for work and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, I still feel like I'm working. Like, I still get stressed and have meetings and stuff, but it's a lot more fun than a lot of other jobs out there for sure.
Andy, let's do some week 10 lines. I'm going to give you a game, some odds, then just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. You don't have to spend a ton of time on each game. There's no pressure to make a pick or anything like that. Just give me whatever you want to give me. And by the way, all of these lines are from FanDuel as of early Tuesday afternoon. First up, New Orleans at Tennessee. Titans favored by 3, over under 44.5. Saints are 5-3, coming off a loss against the Falcons. Meanwhile, how about these 7-2 Tennessee Titans? No Derrick Henry, no problem. They've now won 5 straight, and here are their last 4. Rams, Colts, Chiefs, Bills. Great wins. If the season ended today, the Titans would actually be the 1 seed in the AFC. Andy, what do you got?
Yeah, this is wild considering all the chatter about this team a few weeks ago. Like, are the Colts live to win the AFC South because of this stretch? Like, this, no bones about it. That's a super tough stretch. And we talked about this. Drew and I talked about this after the first 2 wins. We said, like, the Titans getting through this stretch 2-2 was like a best case scenario when you looked at it from the outside. And we said that they've already won 2 games. Like, they've already made, you know, they made it through this stretch halfway unscathed by winning the first 2. And now the fact that they win all 4, including the one against the Colts, like, it's, yeah, the division isn't a foregone conclusion, but it sort of is at this point. And maybe what we're seeing is, you know, a decent coaching staff taking just what they're given. It's really tough to lose a runner like Derrick Henry, but they kept a semi-balanced offense. I was a little worried they were just going to try to grind with, like, Adrian Peterson had a touchdown and that might mask some things, but I mean, he wasn't good. He averaged like 2 yards a carry. The fact that they ran him 10 times was surprising. Hopefully we see more Foreman going forward. I think he actually looked a little better in some limited usage, but they still have decent weapons on the outside. They have a good quarterback, and the coaching staff obviously got to give them a lot of credit for getting this done. And then obviously getting a nice win, missing your best player. The Saints have been a weird one all year with me. I haven't been able to make heads or tails of the Saints. And then you throw in this quarterback quandary. Now, it, you know, they went with Simeon. It decided to the Taysom Hill stuff, as far as the usage, they actually used him on more snaps when Winston was playing than they did last week, which I guess I'm going to have to go back and kind of think about why that would be, as far as maybe they didn't want to mix it up with the new quarterback. He's, you know, throw too many curveballs at him. Like, oh, now Hill's in for a stretch or whatever. He did play a couple snaps in a row, but he played far fewer snaps with Winston injured. So I'm not super psyched to bet on this game. But this is a weird one with Tennessee not being a good pass rush team, suddenly getting a pass rush during this winning streak. And New Orleans, kind of a middle of the pack pass pro team. But when you're dealing with quarterbacks play such a big part in your pass protection. When you get to the end user stats, the sacks, the pressures and stuff, a lot of that is a quarterback stat. Bringing in a fresh quarterback, losing a guard for probably the year he's going to have surgery. Like, I can see this Tennessee pass rush, which is not something we've ever talked about for years, getting to New Orleans a little and probably getting another win here. So I'm not laying it, but I'm certainly not excited about getting in bed with the dog here.
You surprised Titans are only given 3 at home to the Saints?
Yeah, I guess the market just isn't ready to make this winning streak against all these good teams that much of an adjustment. And maybe the fact that, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't looked good. The Buffalo Bills lost to Jacksonville. Maybe these aren't, you know, the wins against super elite teams. Maybe it's just the whole AFC is kind of a mess. And, you know, they've gotten some wins against teams that are more their peers rather than their, you know, elite teams that are miles above them. So probably right where I had it. If I pull up my power numbers right now, I'm pretty close to this. I would actually, you know, just based on what I've done for upgrades, I'm probably pretty close to this, but I'm staying away from this one for the most part. And this total is puzzling as well, as far as being this low. I thought it was a little low, but just kind of based on what we're going to see from Tennessee as far as an offense, I'm a little sketched out by that as well. New Orleans can cover. Like, New Orleans will be able to cover. So, and if it turns into, hey, we're going to give Adrian Peterson the ball a dozen times, it might not be this dream season that they've been living for the last few weeks anymore.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but here are the current odds to win the AFC. I'm bringing this up, Andy, because I just think it's so hard to make sense of who's actually going to come out of this conference. You've got the Bills still holding down the top spot after losing to the Jags. They're at plus 260, followed by the Ravens, plus 450. Titans are 6-1, Chiefs plus 650, Chargers 10-1, Browns 14-1, Raiders, Pats, Cincy, the next 3 teams. I have no idea who's coming out of the AFC.
Yeah, and if you want, you look at like strength of schedule too, you can go further strength of schedule. Like, Tennessee's forward-looking strength of schedule is pretty low as well. The Rams have a kind of, the Rams are on the other side, but just some of these teams that have, I was just looking at that, some of these teams that have like 6-7 wins, like, man, they actually have a pretty light strength of schedule forward-looking as well. So I'm not afraid to look at some of those, you know, teams that are maybe a little further down, not trading on their name as much to win the AFC. I think really the only conference future I have is some Dallas exposure, which that was a sad result for me last week. I liked it a lot better when they were just, you know, the best offense possible. But the forwards, I'm going to dig into this a little this week, because Drew and I had talked about this a little earlier too, is looking at just the mess that is, you know, that we called it a 19-way tie at 5 wins. And just in the NFL in general, start looking at the playoff pictures. Because, yeah, right now, I believe it was, yeah, the Chiefs are on the outside looking in if the playoffs started right now. The Steelers, I think, are the 5 seed now.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, as much as everyone wanted to dunk on them after the collapse last year. And the Steelers have a middle-of-the-pack strength of schedule going forward. So
let's stick with some of those middle of the road AFC teams for this next one. Cleveland at New England. New England favored by 1.5 most spots right now. Over under is 45.5. To me, these are two teams that could be turning things around. The Browns, 5-4, just demolished the Bengals. I was about to say that they're finally getting healthy, although just within, I think, like the last hour before we did this podcast, Nick Chubb test positive for COVID, according to Adam Schefter. Schefter also reports that Chubb is vaccinated, so he would need, I believe, 2 negative tests 24 hours apart to play. So Schefter at least makes it sound like at this point, we just found out this news, that at this point, Chubb could still play, although he does currently have COVID. Pats, meanwhile, also 5-4. They've won 3 straight, knocking out the Panthers last weekend. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, not a big notch in your belt taking out the Panthers at this point of the year. That was one of the biggest, I guess they were a pretender and they played a very, very weak strength of schedule when they were, you know, quote unquote good at the beginning of the year. I believe that the 3-0 start, but yeah, Darnold continues to regress. So good win. You definitely, if you're going to be a playoff team, which they kind of are right now, you have to get those wins against bad teams, but maybe semi-Pyrrhic victory with some bad injuries on the offensive side. You had a couple of running backs go down. It is, you know, it's noon for me on a Tuesday, so we're still early in the week on injury reports. This Tuesday afternoon's when I try to catch up on a lot of that and see what teams are saying, but Ramondre, Damian Harris were injured. Jonnu Smith was injured during the game as well. And, you know, they have a below average offensive line and a rookie quarterback going up against a really, really good defense, especially a pass rush. You get the sack leader in the NFL and our guy, you know, Myles Garrett. And, you know, what's been working for the Patriots is running the ball and having a, you know, a defense that's gotten better throughout the season. And now they're going to go up against a team who has a good offense, you know, especially what we saw last week. You know, the defense is going to get tested a lot more than they were against Sam Darnold. And you know, again, if you want to be a running team, let's see how we can do it after we had several running back injuries against a good front four. So a much, much bigger test for him this week. And I think that, you know, and it's funny. The biggest story is still just the OBJ thing, even though it's been a week. I've seen a ton of that as far as like, oh, the addition by subtraction or however you want to say it. And I don't know if I subscribe to all that completely, but I'm certainly not on the other end of it. I don't think it was a negative losing him. Like if you want to balance all the factors as far as his production compared to what he was maybe being as far as a distraction to the team, at worst case, it's probably a net neutral. So I definitely didn't downgrade them losing. And Donovan Peoples-Jones stepped in nicely. He had a really good game against what was a good Cincinnati defense for a good chunk of the year. They put up a lot of points. We'll see where we are on the Baker Mayfield got proving people wrong cycle. You know, he does better when people are down on him for some reason. And this is the weird part where, okay, now they're expected to play well here, despite being a slight dog heading on the road against what is in the media still probably a good coaching staff, but I'm still down a little on the Patriots based on some things from early this year. So it's tough for me. I won't have any action on this game likely, but I need Myles Garrett to win Defensive Player of the Year, and I need Mac Jones to win Rookie of the Year. So those two things, both of those players having a good game. So maybe I just need a really good passing game where he gets sacked like 6 times as well from Mac. This will be a big test because he's probably been my favorite rookie quarterback. Obviously, Fields had a nice second half last night in the Monday night game, but I need to see it versus a good defense. We've had some games where it's like, all right, they got the win, but was, you know, we haven't seen that leadership game, that him stepping up and really running this offense. Like I said earlier, it has been a rush based offense for the most part. They haven't asked a lot out of him. And really, I think if you kind of subscribe to that, Cleveland at a dog price here, just on the money line, might be where I lean.
I'm happy to hear that. We're coming back around on this one in a little bit here. By the way, the one more mention before we move on to the next game, the Browns were one of 10 underdogs that covered last week. And according to John Ewing of BetMGM, dogs are now 78-57-1 against the spread on the season. That's a lot of dogs cashing, man. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to continue to see it in the future, but at least for now, that is a lot of dogs covering.
Yeah, it's funny. You get these weird, because it's still, despite being what, 125 games or so, it's still kind of a smallish sample in the grand scheme of things.
And true.
I think it was 2 years ago we had something like this where it was like, man, road teams were just killing it. And we were joking about road field advantage. And it always does seem to regress, but it certainly, even like I said, 125 games roughly left. Maybe a little more now that we have a 17 game season. I'm so used to 256 being the number, but little more than half the season left. That's not enough to really say like, oh, that'll regress and the favorites are going to start covering now. Obviously the market adjusts, but I certainly wouldn't be running through the window just to back favorites thinking it'll come around.
Me either. Carolina at Arizona favored by 10, over under 44.5. Panthers are 4-5. We talked about this. They're not good. I'm mostly bringing this up because the Cards are now 8-1, and they just crushed the Niners in San Francisco, despite being without Kyler, Hopkins, and a bunch of other dudes. So by all means, let me know if you've got something on this game. But I also want to know, Andy, do you think the Cards are for real? Are we ready to say the Arizona Cardinals are for real?
I think so, just based on everything this offense did, what we've seen in a game where they didn't have a head coach. We saw it in a game where they didn't have their starting quarterback. I mean, they have enough players in this team. And I think a big concern going into the season, my biggest concern was Kyler Murray getting injured, which we saw was a big problem last year when he hurt his shoulder and continued to play through it. But one of my biggest concerns was the defense just continuing to stink. They had some high draft picks they ended up, using the past couple of seasons. They brought in J.J. Watt, who's hurt now, but still – you can't understate bringing in a veteran to maybe coach up, especially when you had that much youth in the front seven there. And they've gotten some nice play from the secondary that I was pretty down on. So the fact that the defense isn't horrid, kind of it's kind of where the Chiefs were like last year when they were good. Like, all right, you have a really fun offense. The defense isn't good, but it's not, oh my God, this defense is horrible and they're going to need to score 40 points every game. Like maybe like a Cowboys team we saw the other year. So the fact that the defense stepped up, I think probably lends to like, this is a team that can get it done. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. They were kind of a team I was looking at to fade in the playoffs though. You end up with a young quarterback starting, his first playoff start with a young coach, not experienced in the playoffs against, you start naming the rest of the NFC and it's just, Rodgers and Brady and, Arians and even LaFleur is not terribly experienced, but I'd certainly rate him as a much better head coach. So just the combination of, especially in the case of Brady and Arians, Jesus, all the years, but the experience and the quality of the head coach quarterback combos in the NFC are just going to be heads and tails above, Kyler and especially Cliff. I don't want a dog on Kyler. It's just his inexperience mostly in that. So I worry about them in the playoffs. This feels like, God, I don't even want to do this to myself, but there's been a few teams like this. You have the Chargers, just the dream season that ends horribly. The 98 Vikings, I think, were 15-1, lost in the playoffs. Like it has all the makings of that just because there are some high quality NFC teams that, the Cardinals end up running the table or going 15-2 and then losing at home as in their first playoff game. That's my feel on this team, but definitely regular season. It's not a team I'd want to play right now.
I like that take. Time for the single most miserable part of the Rambling and Gambling podcast. The Washington football team getting 9.5 at home against the Bucks, over under 51.5. The WFTs are my team, Andy. I've sworn that I will not bet on them again this season. They're 2-6. I've already lost plenty of money betting on them. The Bucks, meanwhile, look pretty good. 6-2, coming off a bye. Most recently lost a close one to the Saints. You have anything on this one?
Yeah, this was another weird one. Similar to Minnesota, Dallas, both teams coming off the bye. And before Sunday and after Sunday, seeing an adjustment. That one was the Dak, maybe some really early Dak news. We saw that Price actually had a pick 'em on a Sunday night opener. This one moved up a couple off the opener, the look ahead line. So it was more of like a 7.5, 8, and it kind of jumped up when the numbers came out Sunday. I guess not surprising. I probably am in the same boat as you. I had Washington at the best of the numbers versus Green Bay. and was just dying. I don't stress that much. I've bet enough now where I'm kind of immune to it. But watching that team march the length of the field and hilariously not score on every single red zone opportunity was just maddening.
In particular, the slide. I mean, it was just tough to watch.
That game is going to stick with me for a while because I really, really feel like I made a decent bet there and was not rewarded. So that has to come. You can say that has to come around again, but the fact is you're not going to have thousands of red zone opportunities throughout the course of the season for that to work its way out. I mean, it could continue to just be a problem. Sometimes teams are just bad in the red zone, and it sucked. It was against Green Bay because Green Bay's defense was horrible in the red zone. I think they'd given up 100% touchdowns up to that point in the game or in the season. But yeah, rough one for your football team there. It's really strength on weakness both ways for Tampa. It's a team that gets more of their yards through the air than any other team in the league versus a bad secondary. And, you know, I like this team. We loved Chase last year, got some defensive rookie of the year tickets on him. He was a guy that I followed quite closely. I was bullish on this defense, and just this secondary has taken a big step back. And the fact is you have a very smart coach and a savvy quarterback. Again, if you have a good pass rush and a bad secondary, I guess look for the ball to come out fast and completely neutralize that. We've seen that over and over with Tom Brady, no matter where he's been. And on the other side, it's a really good run defense versus a team that's determined to run the ball. So it's going to be hard for this to turn into any sort of track meet. I think the only way that Washington stays in this is if they're able to score. They're going to have to go to the air early and often, because running into this front four is just going to be kind of fruitless for the most part. And if you're going to have to drop back 40 times, you're going to see the pass rush come into play tier two. So I probably won't lay it, but the 10, minus 10 is probably the right side, even on the road here. Just such a goofy mismatch for both sides of the ball.
Monday nighter, Rams given 4 in San Francisco. Rams 7-2, one game behind the Cardinals in the NFC West. They're coming off that Sunday night loss to the Titans. Cost a lot of people money. A lot of people tease the Rams, myself included. Niners sometimes look like one of the worst teams in the league. They're 3-5. They just gave up more than 400 yards to that undermanned Cardinals team. Here's the thing, though. They're still not out of the playoff hunt in the NFC. If the season ended today, I think they're only like a game out.
Yeah, this is probably the one I'm going to have the most trouble with this week. I'm going to dig into a lot of stuff on this. Trying to understand the Niners. I think maybe they're in there with the Saints for me. I don't get why this team isn't good. I get why we saw maybe a rough game for the Rams. Like that's a team that's a bit fragile. Like if the defensive stars aren't stepping up and making things happen, you know, and obviously what we saw from Stafford in the first half was a bit of an issue there as well. Like that was, things were always going to go bad when you have something like that. I want to say that, it was Tennessee, LA last week. It was 21 points in the second quarter by Tennessee on 3 touchdown drives. And those 3 touchdown drives, because one was a defensive score, it was a total of 66 offensive yards. So you can't even really dog on the defense there. It was really, Stafford putting them in a rough spot with 2 of those picks and then 1 half decent drive that ended up in a touchdown. So if the defense plays how they had been playing and Stafford isn't mucking it up, it seems like the favorite is the look here too, just based on what the Niners have done as a team and just haven't been able to kind of figure out what they're going to have as an offense. And the secondary is completely beatable by a team with a decent receiver core like this. So I'm probably leaning away from this. I guess my power numbers are, I was down on the Rams to start the season, to tell you the truth. I didn't want to believe they'd be a good team. It was like, oh, it's a really good quarterback upgrade, but am I going to believe in this offense? Or excuse me, believe in this defense when it's just the stars and scrubs looked. And so far it's worked. And the fact that they added another star probably leads me to believe that we're probably going to end up with a really good race. You know, we talked about the Cardinals being for real. I think the Rams-Cardinals race down the stretch could turn out to be pretty good. And this is a big one for them. I don't know if I looked at, like them to cover the 4, but getting them to win this game, it seems like a decent matchup for them. I'd probably line this at 3. It looks like my numbers have it about three, saying I'd probably have a little value on the Niners, but boy, I don't have an appetite for that.
I don't blame you. Sunday nighter, KC given 2.5 in Vegas. Chiefs are 5-4, now winners two in a row, most recently against the Jordan Love-led Packers and the Giants. The Raiders are 5-3. They just lost to the Giants. You have anything on this one?
Yeah, Mahomes has been good in these starts. And, you know, they went 1-1 against each other last year. There was not the upset, I believe. And then it was a couple good games. Mahomes has been good against Vegas in his career. I saw this stat. This kind of popped out at me. And maybe it's not as eye-popping when you start just doing the basic division. But he has 2,000 yards against the Raiders in 6 starts. Just sounds like a lot. I don't know. When you say it out loud like that, it's not actually, you know, a bunch of 600-yard games. But on average, he's been very good against the Raiders. We just saw a couple of those games where it was, you know, the defenses were bad. It was a bit of a track meet in the one. I think that's kind of what we thought we'd see from it again this year. We said, you know, the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs, and the Raiders, while, you know, Derek Carr isn't awful and they have some good secondary pieces, the defense might not be good. And maybe now what we're going to get, although the total is still 52, I think in a normal season, this total would probably be closer to 55. Yeah. Actually kind of leaning towards the under in this one, as scary as that sounds. But Vegas is, you know, it's a good offense versus a bad secondary. I'm probably looking at just continuing to fade the Chiefs. I have some Chiefs season win total under, which I think can just cash in this game. I believe that's enough losses to mathematically cash the under 12.5 for me. So I'm looking at Vegas. I think maybe a bit of a distraction game with the rug stuff, and now with the Arnett stuff, that's not helping. That whole draft class apparently was just a disaster off the field. I do think just the matchup of a good offense versus the Chiefs defense from anybody is like, well, this is going to work out. This is going to work out fine for you offensively. How are you going to do, you know, on the defensive side of the ball? And the Raiders get a lot of pressure without blitzing. Like, and if you can get pressure on Mahomes without blitzing and still maintain coverage down the field and just do what everyone else has been doing. I hate the cliche of like, oh, they drew him a blueprint for beating this good team, but the teams that are just doing like a too high safety, taking away the deep stuff and, you know, managing to put a corner on Kelsey, kind of taking away the weapons, the lack of a good third receiver and really any semblance of a running game is kind of just making the Chiefs a little more human than they have been in previous seasons. And if Kansas City can manage it, or excuse me, the Vegas Raiders can manage anything on defense, I think they're definitely in this game. This is a home game for them. Kansas City likely turns it around at some point, but I'm not going to. And once they do, I guess, shame on me. I'll take the bait, but I probably wouldn't even take the points. I don't like taking +2.5 ever. And then a higher total game like this, I certainly wouldn't. I would just take the money line on the Raiders.
Maybe tease it.
Probably going to make the card. Yeah, the Raiders are going to be a very popular teaser leg, despite the total being a little higher than some players like. But yeah, the Raiders up to, you know, an 8.5 is going to be a nice teaser leg as well.
Last one we'll highlight, and then we'll kind of race through the rest. I've got some good quick hitters for you. I want to make sure I leave time, and I know you're a busy guy. Last one we'll highlight, though. Seattle at Green Bay. Green Bay -3.5 as of now, over under 50. Seahawks 3-5, coming off a bye, most recently beat the Jags. Pack 7-2, coming off that ugly loss to the Chiefs. Jordan Love looked awful. Presumably, though, Aaron Rodgers would be back for this one, I think, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You said you pulled all the lines from FanDuel. Did they have this game up? There are some books that are just, there are some books that are saying no mas, not lining this right now.
Yeah, they currently, it's off the board. It's on the board. I assume the limit would be low, would be my hunch.
Yeah.
But it is on the board.
Yeah, there are other places that are just going to take a lower limit like they did on some other games with some quarterback questions. But yeah, the decent chance that we see this being both quarterbacks back. I talked to some smart people that think, you know, you'll see Russell and you'll see Aaron Rodgers. If it's Jordan Love, that's super bad news for Green Bay. I actually bet this. I took Seattle +6 just on the opener. I didn't think that number would be around all that long. I figured even if both are in, it should never be a 6. So, and if I had to put percentages to it, my percentage of probability of Russell Wilson playing, which much higher than Aaron Rodgers playing. Just Russell Wilson was going to be back. He pulled the pin early. Looks like they're going to try to salvage the season. I don't know maybe if that's the right move, but that's seemingly what they're going to do. And just the fact that Rodgers is unvaccinated really muddies the water. Everything about it just muddy. Like this whole stuff, I hate talking about this sort of stuff. I miss just talking about football or sports in general the last 2 years, but you got to sit and learn all the protocols and rules. And, you know, there are different rules for vaccinated and unvaccinated players as far as how you have to, you know, how you have to get your two positive or your two negative tests and what kind of time frame you have. So the fact that he was symptomatic and he has to be, you know, feeling better and testing negative a couple times, I worry that he won't be available. And in that case, I don't know, what would you make the slide if it were Russell Wilson, you know, versus Jordan Love? It certainly will move quite a bit off there, even being in Green Bay. I know I'd probably have to be, you know, below the three, closer to a pick. So this number is kind of leaning towards that middle ground of Rodgers might play. And even in that case, I do like getting the 6 points there with the Seattle.
Yeah, 6 points. Great closing line value, as they say. Let's run through what we haven't hit so far. Stop me if you want to touch on any of these, but don't feel like you have to. Sure. Vikings, I believe you're Vikings, right? You're a Minnesota fan?
My fandom died many years ago. Just with the I do like the over in this one. Just okay. A lot of teams have turned their offense into a running offense when they face the Chargers. Because it's such an easy defense to run against, the Vikings don't need their arm twisted to do that. They like to run the ball. They have a good running back. They have several good running backs. They should eat on the ground. You know, despite that taking a little longer than a passing offense, they should get some big chunks. And the Vikings secondary stinks versus a good passing offense. I think both teams will score plenty. This should be a little higher than it is. There's some flat 52s, and I took that on the over in this one.
Yeah, FanDuel right now is 51.5. Also, so the listeners know, Chargers favored by 2.5. Other games we haven't hit, Baltimore -7.5 in Miami, Jacksonville at Indy, Colts are favored by 10.5, Atlanta at Dallas, Cowboys favored by 9, Buffalo given 13.5 against the Jets, at Jets, Detroit at Pittsburgh -9, and Denver given 3 points at home against Philly. Any of those do anything for you, Andy?
Not a ton on those. I did bet the Detroit under. That has come down. That was another Sunday afternoon grab with when Drew and I take a look at those early numbers. That one was a bit high. I think it was 44 we took. That's dropping down to where probably it should be at 42. I've seen some good action. I believe Drew bet the Cowboys over when it was early, 52. That's popped up. You've seen a little action coming both ways now that maybe a little market resistance once it gets to that point. If you're still having offensive line issues, the Cowboys are a completely different offense. You know, if you see anything like we saw last week, that over's not getting there. So they got to figure that out. There were some quotes from Jerry Jones today. They're not sure if Smith is going to play. And they're not sure if the offensive line configuration they used last week is what they're going to use this week. So it's not an intimidating pass rush from Atlanta, but if Atlanta can get pressure and Dak looks bad again, I think that over might be in trouble and there might be some people coming back on that.
Before we move on, is there any bet you feel especially confident in heading into week 10? Can be a side, a total, whatever.
Oh, man, I gave out two. The number's already gone. That's no fun. You know what? Probably stick with that Vikings over. That number hasn't been moving a lot. It opened 52. There's still 52s. Like you said, there's a 51.5. I haven't seen a lot of action on that, but I do think both offenses just have a nice advantage over what the opposing defense does. And, you know, especially it doesn't, I had to look quick. I knew it was in LA, but, I looked quick anyway. It doesn't matter either way. It's indoors. No weather going to affect this one, even though we did have a lightning delay one time in the stadium earlier.
True. I like that. I think I'm going to tell you on that one. Andy, we call this next segment Josh's Juice. And for the listeners, we are still taking new name recommendations for this. Andy, we tried to replace the admittedly lousy Josh's Juice title with something else a few episodes ago. But, you know, one of the suggestions from a reader who happens to be my buddy, so I can say this, his suggestion was Sawbucks for Squares. So, yeah, we're We're still looking. Nevertheless,
we're workshopping it.
Yeah, we're workshopping. It's like a like 8-week workshop. Nevertheless, here's how it works. I'm going to give you a bet I'm thinking about making. I'll tell you why I like it. I want you to tell me what you think. Feel free to critique the bet itself, my process, whatever. You good with that?
Yeah.
Let's do it, man. I'm doing a 2-team 6-point teaser. I got it at -120 at Caesars. Team one, and maybe this changes, but I did already put the bet down with the Chubb news could change it. But I like the Browns. When I got this one, they're at +1.5. I think they're back to +1.5 now. So I'm moving them to +7.5. That means we're going through the 3 and the 7. We talk all the time about how that's a good thing to do. Cleveland looked great last week. They were finally healthy, at least until this COVID news. Also, New England is dealing with some pretty big injuries. We covered this a little earlier too, Andy, especially at the running back position. I could see New England winning this one, but even without Chubb in a worst case scenario, I don't see New England winning by more than the touchdown. Team two, I'm taking the Ravens, moving them from 7.5-point favorites to 1.5-point favorites against the Dolphins on Thursday night. Traditionally, Ravens, really good short week team. They're 9-0 in short week games with Lamar. They've historically been very good against the Dolphins. You might remember 2 years ago, they beat them 59-10 in Miami, and Lamar had that perfect passer rating. It was a heck of a game. Also, I just think the Dolphins are really, really bad. Their two wins are against the Texans last week and the Pats way back in the season opener. So that's why I like the Ravens, -1.5, and the Browns +7.5. Andy, let me have it. Keep it quick if you can. I can take it. What do you think?
No, I like that one a lot. Like I said, I like Cleveland straight up. The teaser's a good look. Both those games have lower totals, should lead to less variance and, you know, fewer scoring opportunities for both teams. Helps with the teasers, especially, you know, when you're taking it through those nice numbers like you are. And really, I'm not worried about the Chubb news at all. We saw what, like, a lot of it is just the offensive line has some real movers on there. And you can put somebody like Dearness back there and be just fine. They did it once, likely going to do that again. No, I like that one quite a bit. I'm going to have more teasers than I care to this week, I think.
You know, I bet the under on Dearness Johnson that night. He had like 180 rushing yards. I took the under.
It was over quick, at least.
It was over very quick. That was the worst bet I've made all year. Andy, can we wrap this up with a few semi-quick hitters?
Yeah, no, sure. Whatever. Number one. Whatever works.
All right, cool, man. I really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. Number one, were you dabbling in competitive eating at one point? Is that true?
So it's tough. I mean, you saw I was. And just like, you know, the NBA stars that were forced to uproot their families or whatnot and play in the bubble and the, you know, all the NHL teams that had to go to Canada, but COVID was very hard on my community too with the competitive eating. I was talked into it, like when we did a competitive eating podcast and somebody said, you know, if you win a qualifier, you can go eat at Coney Island for the hot dog contest. There's qualifiers all over the country. I looked it up. There's one in Iowa. Like, so I said, well, I'm going to set a baseline to see how many hot dogs I can eat just so I can start my training. And I did. It's on YouTube somewhere. There's a video of me doing this. And shortly after that, like, everything shut down, all the qualifiers shut down. So possibly looking at bringing back the deep dive competitive eating team. But it was a short-lived career thanks to starting right at the beginning of the pandemic like that.
I love that you guys were gambling on competitive eating. I think that's fantastic. I know you bet a bunch of college basketball. New season is upon us starting tonight. We're taping this Tuesday. Any insights, any teams or futures or whatever that you like, that you're keeping an eye on?
I usually, my futures, I just lean on other people. I've been legitimately horrific at that. I don't place a ton preseason. If you want to join along come March, I will bet every conference tournament. Once we get to those, I think I have a lot of fun at that. I've even made a little money on those past couple of years. I think I'm sitting on some Memphis at an earlier number. A lot of it, you know, just like anything else, a lot of this is informational, getting the number at a good price. Like anything I have in my accounts is probably a bad number at this point, because it's like, hey, guess what? We're hearing this guy's transferring here. We're going to all bet, you know, this team. Like, and I do believe Memphis actually will be a pretty good team this year. I like a couple of those top squads, but I'm taking it easier than I normally would even this year with the transfer portal being, you know, like a scene from a Lord of the Rings movie where they have that. There's like 10,000 people fighting. Like the transfer portal was nuts. I every year this is a struggle to grade out some of these teams, bringing in high schoolers and, you know, losing players to the draft or graduation, and now you have everybody and their sister switch teams. So I'm having a hard time grading some of these teams early on, and I'm honestly just going to wait until I have a little more information, even if I lose some early season value on a couple teams.
I think it's smart. I keep hearing, you know, serious gambler after serious gambler say that this year is tougher than ever because of the transfer portal. And it's just an absolute disaster trying to handicap anything this early.
Oh yeah. I might just stick to some totals early once I get into it.
This podcast is for casual gamblers, but I always like hearing how serious gamblers like yourself formulate their bets. Can you give me the quick version of your process, how you figure out what you are going to bet?
I mean, for football, for the NFL, I keep a set of power numbers where I have a team ranked relative to zero. Like if I looked at it right now and I haven't updated it for the week, you know, somebody, Pittsburgh or Philly, somewhere in there. Here, New England. New England's a good one. New England is pretty close to an average team for me. And then somebody like, you know, Dallas, the Rams be 5, 6, 7 points better than an average team. I keep a power number for all of them. And then I make my own numbers before the week starts. So, and that's something I'm adjusting. I'm going to go through a lot of my Tuesday afternoon before, after we get off here. Having meetings kills my handicapping. I got to stop working. I got to start making more money at this so I can just quit working altogether. But Tuesday afternoon, I like to get through all the box scores, kind of make some evaluations. Like, did this team, you know, do they deserve an upgrade? Because a team doing exactly what the market said they should do, you know, if they say you're a 7-point favorite and you win the game by like, oh, let's say 4 to 10 points, that's pretty close to the market expectation. And you go, look, like, were they, you know, were they getting a bunch of easy turnovers? Were they given some short fields? Were they gifted anything? Did they deserve to win by that much? And then decide like what kind of game grade I'm going to give it. And obviously it's more than just the eye test. There's a bunch of stats I'm pulling as well, but every week I update those numbers, make some new numbers, and then compare it to what the market's giving me. So when I say that's, you know, that I make this like a 3, it's not just me tossing out a guess. I'm basing it a lot off a very, very messy spreadsheet, if I'm being honest.
This next one is more of a comment than a question. I saw your tweet about how you smoked 19 pounds of pork butt for your 7-year-old's quote small birthday party. Nice. That's all I had on that one. Just yeah. Really, really nice. It looked delicious on Twitter.
You gotta get one of those vacuum sealers if you're gonna do that. Save all that meat. That's the key to proper smoking meat.
Last one. Any gambling advice you wish somebody had given you when you were just starting out?
Probably trite, but man, the bankroll management stuff is so big. Like, just I think maybe one of my biggest mistakes early on was betting too many sports, you know, always having to bet primetime games. You know, if it was Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night football games, like I did a lot early on of like, well, I don't have anything for this game, so I'm going to do a teaser with the side and the total. Like, I did that constantly. I was lucky to do halfway decent on those, because teasing totals is, you know, usually bad news no matter what you do. So I think, yeah, definitely like learning what bets not to make. And, you know, and that's the thing too. Maybe you don't have to do it all together, because like you said, this is for casual gamblers. People are, you know, a lot of people just want to do this for entertainment. I think maybe taking a step back and realizing like, I don't have an edge in this game. I shouldn't bet it. You don't have to say, I'm not going to bet it at all. Maybe a smaller bet, you know, taking it easy, just maybe doing some DFS instead, or, you know, a couple small bets on some player props or something. I think that would have been helpful for my bankroll early on.
Good advice. Anything else I'm missing, Andy? Anything else you want to add?
No, appreciate you having me. This is fun. I'm surprised I did it. I was a little worried. It's a little early in the week for me. I'm not, you know, like I said, Tuesdays, I'm doing all my upgrading my power numbers. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just, you know, that going back to that real quick too, like, once you come up with your number, you still need to dig in and say like, you know, there could be two teams I rank 6 points better than an average team and two teams that I rank neutral, 0. it's not going to be the same matchup, because there can be things like you. And again, sorry to dog on your team, but like the fact that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have such a lethal passing offense versus a bad secondary is much different than, you know, them going up against one of the better secondaries in the league, even if that team, you know, had other deficiencies that made them on the same level as like Washington. So, you know, those positional matchups are going to, you know, play big into this as well. So that's a big part of what I'm doing the rest of the week before we get into the full meat of week 10. God, the NFL goes so fast. It's like having kids. The season just grows so fast.
Andy Molitor, director of content for BetSperts, co-host of the Deep Dive Pod, co-host of Brown Bag Bets. Find him on Twitter at Andy MSFW, Washington football hater, but that's okay. I don't blame you. Great job, man. Can't thank you enough for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gents, episode 14 is in the books. Thank you for rating, subscribing, and reviewing. Huge help. If you've got a minute, it would really help us grow. Find me on IG at Rambling and Gambling. And the old email is ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next Wednesday, as usual. Have a great week, everybody.